blows. There's a mercy seat, a place to come, find shelter, refuge from that stormy wind. A few of us stayed in a cabin one night this week, and I went fishing with one of the men out on the lake, and it was cold and it was windy. And that wind cut me like a knife. I could feel it in my bones. And I never could get warm out there. But I came back to the cabin, there was a fire awaiting us. And we put our backside up to that fire, and it sure felt good. We come in here this morning, I hope, to get a little heat. And the fire of God's Word. The Word is a fire. Hebrews 11. That mercy seat is God's Word, His gospel, is Christ Himself. Where we come to shelter us from every stormy wind. The title of this message is Moses' Refusals and Choices. Look at verse 38 of chapter 10. I'm sorry, chapter 10, verse 38. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith." By faith. And then chapter 11 begins to give examples, many examples of people who lived by faith. Faith, the word simply means belief. The word means to trust. Now, the faith here that is spoken of is to believe God. Believe God's word. And trust Him. Faith means to believe God's Christ, whom He said is salvation. So faith simply means to believe Christ, to trust Christ for your salvation, to depend on Him, to look to Him. Faith, to have faith in someone is to look to them, to depend upon them. And so faith believes God and believes God's Christ. Now, faith doesn't give life. Faith doesn't give life. That's what modern preaching believes. That if you'll believe, then God will give you salvation. No, no, no. Faith is proof of life. It doesn't give life. It's proof of life. The Word of God, Scripture says, is like seed. The Word of God is like seed. The life is in the seed. It's not in the ground. Right? And He says, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He says it never returns void. It's life. It's not dead. It's quick. And when the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, takes this word and miraculously, mysteriously, He uses earthen vessels, preachers, what the world calls foolishness. The world says, don't preach to me. But unto us which are saved, being saved, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. But God Almighty, through the Holy Spirit, takes the Word of God through preaching that Word, declaring it, simply declaring it, and that's like throwing seed out. And He plants it in a heart, the heart He has chosen, the heart of a dead sinner. And only God knows when that happens. Only God knows who it is to begin with. And only God knows when in His time it's going to happen. And He does it. Thank God. I'm glad He only knows. It's like a seed. And it's planted. And that's the reason we should never give up hope on any of our children or whoever. Loved ones or friends or whoever who have heard. It's the seed. It's the seed. And it's like an arrow, too. Scripture says the Word of God is like an arrow. And when God Almighty, and only when God Almighty takes the arrow of His Word and pierces the heart, will that person be saved. And God Almighty must do this work. Why do I say all this? You know this, don't you? Because we can't begin with Moses. This is not all about Moses. Faith is not of ourselves, you say. Faith, Moses didn't just decide to believe God, did he? Faith, Scripture says, is a gift of God. Faith is not an act of the human will. That's what everybody believes today, don't they? Faith's not an act of the human will, but it's an act of God's will. God who worketh in us both to will. Faith is not a choice we make. That's what the world says. Don't choose God. Faith is a choice that God makes. God chooses to give faith, he said. And I said all that because we can't begin with Moses before we begin with God. Everything. Hebrews 11 is not the start of Hebrews. Is it? There are 10 chapters before Hebrews 11. Where does it begin? God. The first word in Hebrews 1 is God. In the beginning, God. This whole Bible is not about man. It's about God. To the praise of the glory of His grace, His sovereign, saving, electing, choosing, giving, keeping, saving grace. That's what this whole book is about. The whole book begins, in the beginning, God. You think about the first chapters in every book. Just go through and think about the first chapter. Yeah? Genesis 1, Psalm 1, that blessed man, that's Christ, isn't it? John 1, huh? 1 John 1, Revelation 1. That's where you begin, you see. We're not going to begin with Moses and talk about what all he refused and what all he chose until we begin with God and talk about who God chose. Why Moses made these refusals and choices is because God made Moses his choice. In the beginning, God chose a man. A baby. Chose a baby named Moses. A baby. And that's why I say the hope for our children is that they're one of God's elect. Because if they are, He's going to put them in an ark. In the bulrushes. He's going to save them all their days. And then when they're come to years, just give anybody a little hope. I see it does, somebody. Must have a lost child. And when there come to years, God, in the fullness of time, in this day. See, this is to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's what this is. He's the author. He's the author of faith. Aren't you glad for the other part of that? Aren't you, John? Say it, John, out loud. He's the author and what? Finisher. He that hath begun it, he'll finish it. Let's just go home. Isn't that the good news? Well, but Moses made some refusals and some choices. All right? Some refusals and choices. Verse 24 says, by faith, that is, believing God, believing Christ. Yes, Moses believed Christ. Isn't that what Christ said? Oh, yeah, he said, Moses wrote of me. Abraham, he said, saw my day. Rejoice. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I hope all our young people will listen to this morning. I hope all our old people will. I hope I do. Most of you know the story of Moses. He was a son of Hebrew slaves who were in Egypt at the time. And God, in that marvelous providence of His, the decree went out by Pharaoh to kill all the males, Hebrew males, right? And yet God Almighty chose this baby boy named Moses, and he just happened to be a Levite. But anyway, he was a son of Hebrew slaves, and God Almighty spared him this death and put him in an ark in the river to save him from a man who later he's going to drown in the river. I hope you're hearing the irony of it all. But in God's good providence, the very man who gave the decree to destroy all Hebrew males, his daughter went down to the river and found this baby boy. And God Almighty had Moses raised in the very house. You don't think God mocks human beings? They mock God, don't they? They laugh at God. Scoffers and mockers. Where is the promise of His coming? It's all around you. You're just blind. But God mocked him, didn't He, Nancy? Had him raise the Savior that he was trying to kill. And had him raised in this home, a finest of all Egypt. No, a man could not rise higher than to be Pharaoh's grandson. Perhaps the next in line to be Pharaoh. The richest, most powerful man in the earth. Why? Because he's going to show the riches of his grace and his glory in making this man refuse that. Only the grace of God would make a man refuse it all. I mean all. It says, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How old was he? 40 years old. 40 years old. Now, when you're 30, you think you know something. When you're 40, you really think you know something. And it's hard to convince you of anything. When you're 50, 60, 70, forget it. God's able, isn't he? We better hope, for the sake of our whoever, that God is willing. Because with man, it's impossible. 40 years old, okay? Prime of life, set to be the next in line to the throne, perhaps. When he was come to year, all of a sudden, one day, he said, I'm leaving. I don't want any of this. I'm going to go down and join this group of a bunch of nobodies. And put on my sandals and put on a little simple robe, and I'm going to walk out in the desert for the rest of my days. Egypt thought he was crazy. A fool. Huh? It says when he was come to years, what this is like the prodigal son. You remember the prodigal, it said, our Lord told the story of the prodigal son. It says, when he was come to himself, he went out in the world, the prodigal son, and he ended up in the hog pen. Apparently, he didn't mind it. But God, all of a sudden, made him come to himself. That is, see himself. I'm in the hog pen. Look at me. You know, Moses thought the same thing. But he was in the finery of Egypt. He was in the palace among the finest things and people that man had to offer. Yet, look at where I am. I'd rather be down there in the mud pits, in the slime pits with God's people, than to be up here in the midst of it. You think about that. Isn't this a miracle? of God's grace. That's not the man. This is impossible. Moses, when he grew up, when he came to year, when he grew up, now God says of faith that we reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that is, we see all our fullness in Christ, not in the world. All we need and all we want in Christ, not the world. When we're come to year, when God brings us to an age, the fullness of time, age known to Him, time. There's no age of accountability. No, no. It's in God's good time. And unless the Lord brings us to see ourselves like that prodigal, we're going to die in the hog pen. Or unless the Lord gives us faith and brings us to see ourselves like Moses, we're going to die in Egypt. With golden robes on. Huh? We left out of the kingdom. Man may have a good life in this world. Moses would have had the best life that a man could have, but he'd have missed eternal life. But Moses, by the grace and power of God, grew up, and God Almighty opened his eyes to see the vanity, like Solomon. The vanity of Egypt, vanity of vanities, Solomon said, all flesh. Just name something. It's vanity. Fame. Scriptures talks a lot. You heard the morning radio message, Psalm 49. It says, these wise and mighty and honorable among men die like a dog. Honorable dialogue, and you'll forget who they were. One time I asked everyone in here who the 14th president of the United States was, and nobody could give me the answer. I couldn't give it to you right now. I don't have it written down. That's the highest office in the greatest nation in the country, or in the world. And yet nobody knows him. Don't have a clue. You couldn't tell me who the vice president was administrations ago. Could you? It's fleeting, isn't it? Fame, the place thereof, Scripture says, will know it no more. Only those nearest and dearest will ever give you a passing thought. This is why it's only important if one person knows you. Right? Huh? He says, I'll never forget you. Lord, remember me. I can't forget you. Got your name written. You're going to be with me forever. Well, fortune. Fortune doesn't... Scripture calls riches deceitful. The deceitfulness of riches. Why is that? Deceit is something that... looks good and sounds good, and yet you're being deceived by it. It promises something. It seems to be something that it's not. The deceitfulness of riches. Riches promise what they cannot give. If I can just get this, I'll be happy. No, you won't. No, you can't do it. Riches are deceptive. Well, it says here, by faith, Moses refused all fame, fortune. By faith. This is not naturalism. The natural man runs to and seeks after fame. Why is it that a billionaire would run for president of the United States? Ross Perot, is that his name? The rest of them are multimillionaires. Why? Why would they want that job? The salary is only 200 some thousand a year. Fame. Power, honor, glory. It's man loves that more than the finest wine. Fame, recognition, favors, being the most powerful and popular man on earth. For everyone to look up to you, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Everyone esteem you highly. To be somebody in this world. Would it look up? Look at it now. Verse 25 says, he chose rather. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God
and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Reproach. Choosing rather to suffer affliction, to suffer reproach. You see why we had to begin with God? Huh? Why? Choosing rather to suffer persecution, troubles, trials. Now, that's not something he wanted, but he knew it was coming. He knew it. Moses, by the amazing grace and power of God, refused to be called somebody by the world, choosing rather to be a nobody and despised by the world. Moses refused to be called Pharaoh's grandson, the prince of Egypt, choosing rather to be called Son of God. A fool for Christ's sake. Like Noah and those few on the boat. You know. Remember them? Fools. Moses, by the grace and power of God, refused to live in pleasure and ease for the rest of his life, choosing, by the grace of God, to wander in the wilderness, looking forward to a new life in which he would really rest for the rest of his life. Are you hearing it? You've got to be given eyes to see it. Like Moses, given eyes. Moses, by the grace and power of God, refused to run with the Egyptians, choosing rather to walk with a bunch of nobodies in the desert. Moses, by the grace and power of God, refused the honor and the prestige and the popularity of educated Egyptian society, choosing rather to be laughed at, mocked at, be called a fool. Reproach for Christ. Now here, look at this. Reproach of Christ and for Christ, it says. In the margin. Your margin say that? For Christ. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. In other words, he, by the grace of God, saw the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that all that glitters in this world is certainly not gold, but perishes. Greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. The unsearchable. How can a person see and esteem the Lord Jesus Christ more highly than the things in this world that are seen? The unseen Christ, and choose by... Well, I'm about to give you the answer. Choose this unseen Christ and love Him more than... With man, it's impossible. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. And make him see the unseeable, refuse the tangible. You know, if you give a little child a choice, you hold up, I don't have any money on it. If you hold up a glittering, brand new dime, 10 cent, for a little small child, and hold up a $100 bill, green, old, which will it choose? One of the things that glitters, the thing that looks the best, something tangible, you know, that means nothing to them. Signatures, words, all that, paper. What do we go on? What do we live by? What do we believe? Who do we believe? An unseen God. How? Why? It's all written on paper. But Nancy, no, it says, no, I've written this on the tables of their heart. And he proves to us, like he did Moses, through life experiences, proves himself. God doesn't prove himself to mankind. All the heavens declare his glory. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night uttereth knowledge. They're without excuse. Invisible things of God from the creation are clearly seen. They're without excuse, clearly. But God's blinded them. Hid these things from the wise and prudent. And God is only known through His Word. Preaching of His Word. While the world goes after things that are tangible, things that are seen, all that glitters,
And yet we esteem words on paper
as gold.
Okay. An unseen Christ, choosing rather to suffer reproach, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Our Lord said this. He said, it's given unto us not only to believe, but to suffer for Christ's sake. That is, suffer the rejection of the world, the mockery of the world, be not included with the world, be hated by the world. He said that. Esteem the reproach of Christ and for Christ. Why do we do it? What would you go through for one you love, really love? Anything? Scripture says here, our Lord, for the joy that was set before Him, please the Lord make you endure the cross. And I love that verse, despising the shame, meaning didn't give it a thought, just to hang naked on the cross. Save his people. Now, we're not called on for much, are we? Just a word here and there. Well, reproach for Christ and of Christ. This is absolutely the power and grace of God to make this man see and love the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved him because God first loved him. And look at verse 26. It says he had respect, but greater than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Recompense. Recompense means payback. Payback. One old preacher years ago talked about payday someday. Payday someday. And that became an old famous religious slogan. Payday someday. Well, it's a good statement. Payday someday. Payback. God Almighty is going to pay back everything. Everyone. Payday someday. Recompense. Pay back for all who walk by faith with God. Now, He's just giving us what He provided. It's like a father giving a son a trust fund. That's exactly what it's called. Trust fund. What's the word? Talks about the assurance or the token of this riches. Well, like a father giving a son a trust fund, and he draws from that, and it draws interest, and someday he reaps a reward that he didn't earn a dime of that. It's all given to him. And so is this faith. He gives the faith, and yet in glory, the payback for walking by faith that He gives us. But somebody out there is rejoicing in it. Is the reward. Notice, not rewards, is it? Reward. What is it? Same as He said to Abraham, the father of the faith, I am thy exceeding great reward. Lot, what do I get? Lot gets Sodom. Abraham, you're going to shortly see what Sodom's going to get. You don't see it now. You see it as the well-watered plains of Sodom. You see it as the treasures of Egypt, Moses. I'm going to show you that it's going to drown. It's going to be burned by fire. It's all going to drown in the river. You get me. You get me, and there's more. Well, is there more? Yeah. I hadn't seen you or hadn't heard. That's why we can't rightly comment on it. But the recompense of the reward, payback, it's joy unspeakable, Scripture says, and full of glory. Full of glory. Infinitely more glorious. People, this world is a beautiful place. It really is. The world that God created, this creation. It's glorious. I believe the new one is going to be much like it. I really do. Because God, when He created this world, He says, He said, it's good. It's good. Everything. You know, God can't create anything halfway. That's not glorious. So the new heaven, new earth, that is going to be much like this old one, but even more beautiful, without sin, without thorns and thistles and clouds, and won't even need a sun. Well, glory, full of glory. My. And the glory is going to be, and the reason there won't be a sun, because we're going to see His face, whose face shines as the sun in all its strength. Huh? We can't enter into this right now because we're under a cloud darkly. But verse 27 said, by faith he forsook Egypt. Left. Forsook Egypt. Walked away. My. How can a man do that except God gives him the faith to walk with God like Egypt? And like Enoch. And Enoch one day walked on in the presence of God, and Moses did too. He took him up on a mountain. And took him. And he forsook Egypt, not fearing, verse 27, the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him. Who? Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As seeing him who is invisible. Looking to him by faith. Looking to Christ. He's the reward. He's the one we look to for grace, for help, for mercy, for salvation, for forgiveness, for wisdom, for righteousness, for sanctification, for redemption. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth. And you'll obtain a good report too. And through faith, look at this. Last but certainly not least. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he, that is God, that destroyed the firstborn, should touch them. Now you're going to like this. You're going to like this. Those who are really listening, you're going to like this. Do you remember what the first example of faith was here in Hebrews 11? Don't look. Do you remember who? What? First example. As a young boy, one of two brothers, who brought blood, Abel. All right? And here it says, through faith, Moses is this old man now, 80-some years old, 90-some years old. He brings blood. In the end, in the beginning, started with blood, John. Here in the end, he kept the Passover. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Like Abel, he brought blood. That's why Moses felt the need to leave Egypt. When he went to Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. Why? To worship. We got to go out of here and get out in the wilderness so we can sacrifice a lamb. There's no lamb. Got to leave the camp. The next chapter. Go outside the camp to see the blood. Huh? Outside the camp. And it says he kept the Passover. He kept it in Egypt. While they were still in Egypt, God Almighty revealed that lamb to him and his family. And he, by faith, put it over the doorpost and the lintel of his house, which is Christ. That blood. The lamb. And God spared him while he was in Egypt. Well, it says later on he kept it. He kept for the next 40 years. He kept the Passover. He knew what, or rather who, saved him. And so what he did was, here's the end. End of the story. He kept the beginning of his confidence steadfast to the end. For the next 40 years, he kept the Passover. Lest he, that God that should have destroyed him, Moses, a sinner. 40 years he didn't give God a thought. But 40 years. But God gave him thoughts all those years. Foreknew him before the world began. And so for the next 40 or so years, kept the Passover. This do in remembrance of me. Why? Because I remembered you and chose you. And do you see, does anybody the profound irony of this whole story? Amazing, wondrous, amazing wisdom and irony of God Almighty in this whole story. The decree came by the king in Egypt to kill all males. Okay? Pharaoh said, let's kill all males. Kill them all. But God said, no, you're not. You're not going to do it. You're going to kill a bunch of them. I killed them. The Lord killed. The Lord took all those baby Hebrew boys to glory. All their mothers were grief-stricken that they could rest in peace that those babies were with the Lord. But anyway, the king said, kill them all. But God saved the one. All right? Well, in the end, the decree came from God. Kill them all. God's the one that did it. But God. The decree also came, my people. Not one of them are going to die. Not one firstborn male is going to die. They all will be under the blood. My people. Not one of them is going to die. They're all coming out. Egypt's going to die. You see the profound irony? Kill them all, the world said. And in the end, God says, kill them all. And that's exactly what God's going to do with this world. Kill them all. Send his death angel. Kill them all.
But those you see under the blood.
Those who are keeping the Passover. Bring them home. Bring them home. Out of that land. Oh, mercy. Mercy, mercy. Glory be to the mercy, love, grace, sovereign electing, sparing, keeping grace of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.